speak to you in the name of God. Amen. Everywhere you turn these days, people are taking sides. We've just had a bruising election in which people fiercely took sides. Almost everybody who looks at our society says we are more partisan now than in many years. We take sides politically, culturally, geographically, morally. Families have been divided, with some relatives now not speaking to other relatives. People have taken sides in churches, in neighborhoods, and throughout the land, it seems that everybody has taken a side. Such a situation is difficult enough, but what makes the side-taking more insidious and harder to endure is that people sometimes claim that God takes their side. It has not been uncommon for people to claim that God has appointed a political candidate, name your favorite, as God's anointed. Policies and politics are now blessed with divine sanction, if not divine direction. Not long ago, I watched a documentary of that terrible day, nearly two decades ago, when death and destruction rained down in New York City, the towers fell to the ground, and in one short morning of terror, our world was upended. As terrible as the suffering and death of that day was, the most obscene thing of all is that those suicide attacks were committed in the name of God. Not that God's name had never before been uttered in defense of terror. The manifest destiny which swept North America was claimed in the name of God. Native people were denied their land, their language, their families, and their dignity as a consequence of divine purpose. Muslim armies surged across North Africa in the name of God. Christian crusaders slaughtered heretics, infidels, and innocents in the name of God. Dr. Bernard Slepian, a doctor in Buffalo who performed abortions, was shot in his kitchen before his children in the name of God. An American Civil War was fought to the bitter end in the name of God, on both sides. The enslavement of Africans in America was justified in the name of God. The list is as long as human history. In a world of conflict, war, persecution, misery, aspiration, fear, and hope, God will always be lined up as an ally at least, and a champion at best. So you may think I'm crazy to ask tonight's big question, does God take sides? Archbishop Desmond Tutu, whom I had the great honor of meeting and hearing in South Africa, once answered that question in a taped message to the All African Church Conference in Nairobi, Kenya. Bishop Tutu said the same point about not mixing politics with religion or vice versa is made by those who think that religion does not have a bearing on what happens in politics. These persons tend to have an attenuated doctrine of reconciliation and want to avoid confrontation at all costs. To speak about a neutral God in situations of conflict, injustice, and oppression. They say God does not take sides, and so the church should not take sides, but must be somewhere in the middle. But how can God take sides? That would not be fair. And fair is canonical behavior among us, and surely must be among the gods. At least we pretend to be fair. I try not to take sides between my two sons, and always fail, at least according to them. I certainly try not to take sides in my work as a priest here at St. Catherine's. Sure enough, though, a hierarchy of needs and my plain humanity sometimes undermine my attempt to be fair. How can God take sides when the whole world needs divine mercy and favor? And the question hangs there tonight, does God take sides? Well, against the mayhem and violence, against the side-taking draped in the rhetoric of piety, let me say quietly but firmly, yes, God does take sides. This liturgy celebrates God's side-taking. We have come to this church tonight to be warm, to be out of the storm, to sing favorite carols, to touch the swaddling claws of eternity, to gain courage to face a new year. Some of us are here with our families. Some of us are here alone. But all of us hope tonight for something substantial to carry us onward, out into the night and fearful future. That is the blessed hope that God has taken sides in such a way as to restore the world to its intended peace and shalom. According to our sacred tradition, our scripture, and our faith, God is anything but neutral. God took the side of the Hebrews against the Egyptians. God protected the Maccabees against the Greek tyrant who desecrated the temple. God sided with the followers of Jesus against the Pharisees. All the time God takes sides. So why is it so hard to accept the good news? Well, Archbishop Tutu raised the question of God's partiality, far better than I can. He once asked this question about the Bible. Do the scriptures say God is concerned only about individual salvation and has no interest in the redemption of the socio-political and economic matrix in which individuals live? Do the scriptures say the world is religiously and ethically neutral? That what happens in the marketplace, in the courtroom, or in the legislature is of no particular religious importance? Do the scriptures say that God is not, in fact, really interested too much in what happens from Monday to Friday, but only in that which happens on Sunday, and that God does not much care about the plight of the hungry, the dispossessed, the voiceless, powerless ones, that he does not take sides? When two persons are engaged in a conflict and one of them is considerably stronger than the other, to be neutral is not just and fair and nonpartisan, because to be neutral is in fact to side with the powerful. Well, God is not neutral. And the story of a child born to a poor young woman in a leftover cave in a corner of the world, visited by poor farm workers and eccentric astrologers. That story is evidence that God takes sides. God has chosen to scatter the proud and put down the mighty and send the rich away empty. God has chosen to lift up the lowly and to fill the hungry. God has done these things because it is God's way of saving this special world. God did not hate the Egyptians, but when Egyptians enslaved Hebrews, God took sides with the slaves, because nobody should ever live like a slave. God oppressed the oppressor because nobody should live in bondage. And to this day, God will take your side when you are bound and shackled. But when you circumscribe the freedom and dignity of others, you will not have divine sanction. God did not hate the Greek tyrant, Antiochus. But when Hebrews were driven from their home and their holy place defiled, God sided with the Maccabees in the hills and drove out the tyrant, because nobody should be left homeless and nobody's holy places should be defiled. Someday, white citizens' councils will know that God does not sanction the burning of black churches. Someday, terrorists will know that God does not sanction attacking synagogues and killing worshipers. Someday, Indian mobs will know that God does not sanction the destruction of temples and mosques and holy places. Someday. So when you are pushed out and pushed around, God takes your side. When the things precious to your worship and holiness are ridiculed and mocked, God takes your side. But when you move in and take over, God will not go with you. God did not hate the Pharisees, but when they twisted true goodness and right living into a fetish, God allowed Jesus to call them down, because trust in God should never be whitewashed on the outside and hollow on the inside. So when your inner holiness stirs enough to crack the brittle shell, God takes your side. But when custom and pretense hide the dust within, God will be elsewhere. Oh, I believe God takes sides. I believe God takes sides with the poor and the oppressed, with the homeless and the vulnerable, with the hungry and with the lost. And I believe this because God took our side and became one of us and chose to enter this world in the womb of a poor, displaced, powerless young woman. This clearly cost a great deal. God's choice to take our side cost the death of Jesus. But taking sides is never done dispassionately. It is a matter of the heart and the soul. In the movie, A Dry White Season, it is a powerful film about the transformation of an Afrikaner schoolteacher from a passive and benign beneficiary of an unjust society into a citizen who cannot not struggle for justice and peace. Ben DeToy is the name of the teacher. It's the story of his growing involvement in tracking the death of his gardener's son and his gardener. And that search alienates him from his typical Afrikaner family. He grows estranged from his wife until in a rage one day she spits at him. You've got to choose your people. If you don't choose a people, you've got no people. Well, Ben has, of course, chosen his people. He is killed by those who don't want the truth known. From the beginning, God chose a people. As a letter to Peter says, once you were no people, but now you are God's people. God has taken sides. We must believe that, or we wouldn't be here tonight. Somewhere in your life, you are poor, or powerless, or hungry, or homeless, or lost, or enslaved, or empty. Somewhere in your life. Let God take your side and give you the life you were meant to enjoy. At one point, I wondered why God has not been able to make the world a better place. Maybe God has taken the wrong side. Then I remembered, he is only a baby. There's a long way to go. But God has made his choice. He has taken our side. From the ancient and luminous Second Shepherd's play, from the Wakefield Corpus Christi plays from the Middle Ages, the shepherds, crude and rambunctious, have had their stolen lamb miraculously returned and have gone to visit the child in the manger. As they rise to leave, they say in two lines what I have taken a sermon to try to say. To so poor as we are that he should appear first and to us declare by his messenger. God has taken our side. Thanks be to God. Amen.